Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and also on the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. Oh, everything looks so positive. Oh my gosh, we're right back in the playoff punch. We're right back in the playoff hunt, ready to rock and roll. And, well, yeah, it was against the Anaheim Ducks, a couple of shutouts. Yeah, we lost to the Blues, but, you know, but at least we got a point out of it, you know, like, that's okay. And then we play the Los Angeles Kings and get crushed 6-0, and the Wild wind up finishing 500 for the week, I guess. We got 5 out of 8 points. In a lot of ways, it reminds you of the whole Charlie Brown and Lucy. Like, oh, this time she's not going to pull it away. She promised this time, and then, well, what happens?
This time I'm going to kick that football clear to the moon!
Ah! Well, you know, pretty much the same thing. Yeah, which is kind of like either the Wild make the playoffs, you know, you get your hopes up going into the, you know, the first round and everything, and then you have that happen. Or is it a Viking season, everything looks so great, and then that happens, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of a Minnesota sports thing. It's not just the Wild, but I don't know. The Wild lately, or at least this particular season, about all the playoffs conversation, I think need to be put to rest sooner than later. Because, I don't know, yeah, we're in the mix, we're there, we're in the hunt, and yes, the players are going to fight, and fight to the end. We'll stand and defend and all that cute stuff. The coach is going to do everything he can to get the wins and everything because that's just the way they're wired. And they're supposed to, right? They're supposed to compete their butts off. I get it. It's just at the same time as fans, maybe let's not get too excited about it. We'll see. Interestingly enough, well, we have 4 games to review. I won't try to babble too much about it, generally. And only 1 game to preview, which means only 1 game to review next week, the St. Louis Blues, which also opens the door, and the timing is perfect, for a special guest I tend to have on this time of the year, every single year. You can probably guess who it is. I won't officially announce it yet because you never know. But or should I just say there's a distinct possibility. It is, well, that Derek Felska will be joining next week. It is a spring break type of deal again. So obviously him being a teacher, a head tennis coach, head coach for tennis, and a defensive line coach for the school. He also teaches that. So pretty dang cool. No doubt about that. Yep, and it's on the boys' side because in tennis there's boys and girls. Football there isn't at the moment. But, yeah, spring break, which often opens up the door for... It's like an annual spring break special between the two of us, if I ever get the words out correctly. An annual spring break special. Say that correctly 3 times. And fast 3 times and all that. Spring break, blah, blah. Okay, you get the idea. But, yeah, but it's a lot of fun. And yes, hopefully sometime in the, obviously there's like, they keep the shows coming in the summer, Crease and Assist podcast, that's Derek with Teresa Ferries and Kalisha Townsell. Sometime, yeah, but I remember last year, yeah, he wanted to be on the show at least once in the summer, and I just, you know, I kept like getting tied up in other things, but hopefully this summer for sure, at least one, maybe more than one, it'd be fun. But obviously it depends on their schedule as well, though. Obviously they have other things going on, or maybe other guests, who knows. So that's how it goes in the podcasting world, right? Okay, well, let's get to the games. Yeah, let's try to. I don't know. St. Louis Blues. Is the Wild ever beat this stupid team? I don't know. Sometimes when they feel like it. I guess we're kind of ahead of them, or we were. Yeah, that was like one of the most pathetic shootouts I've ever seen in my life. The Wild fall down 2-0. Make a furious rally on the road in St. Louis. Okay, it was impressive that the Wild were able to complete their furious rally to force overtime. Two very important names for the future of this franchise. Connecting on a goal, Marco Rossi with his 18th goal of the season, 41st assist for Kirill Kaprizov. And Kirill Kaprizov also gets his 35th goal of the season to tie things up with, about 4 minutes left in the game. The Wild would hang on. Zuccarello with his 44th assist. Bogosian, the newly signed Bogosian, of course, former Atlanta Thrasher. So they still exist. Atlanta Thrashers are still around, just like a lot of old North Stars are still hanging around for a while. Enter Mike Modano into 2011, I believe. That was his last year with the Detroit Red Wings. So remember, he skated his final game with the Dallas Stars. He skated in a North Stars jersey around the late 80s, early 90s era when they added the black stripe. And the North Stars went on their cup run. Not championship, but cup final run. He skated wearing that jersey. It ended up being his last game with the Stars, not in the NHL. He wanted one last season with his hometown Detroit Red Wings. Did Mike Modano, whose name is on the award of the week on every show these days, and thankfully he is a member of the Minnesota Wild organization. Now that I've babbled and gone all over the place, the shootout was, I don't know, Zuccarello, Kaprizov, did not work out. The goal was scored by Kyrou, and it's like, come on. Obviously timed things well, and then Goudreau tried to do the same thing, tried to, you know, deke out Jordan Binnington, and forced him out of the net, and then he just flat out missed. It was like, it'd be like airballing a baseline shot in basketball. You know, you shoot the ball over the rim, which people do sometimes in, like, you know, middle school, high school, and stuff like that. You just shoot the ball over the rim. It was kind of like that. It's just an airball, and it was funny and sad at the same time. Yeah, that kind of summed up everything. It summed up Freddie Goudreau's season in so many ways. A guy who was known, you know, famous for the shootout last year and did such a great job in the shootout last year under his guy, Dean Evason. This year, off to a terrible start, didn't even score a goal in Evason's first and final 15 games with the Minnesota Wild this season. He finally scored a goal right after that, which figured, and really it's been a miserable season ever since for the guy who got a five-year extension. Yeah, I've harped on that enough, but I don't know. If he's still here, I think we're going to be harping on it still, unless by some miracle he has a nice renaissance that lasts four more years, yeah. Let's get off of that real quick. Well, somebody's going to get 4 more years, if you know what I mean. That's a little nudge to the political world. Somebody is getting 4 more years, one of the two. I guess it's okay to say. Yeah. Anaheim, 4-0 after shutting out the Anaheim Ducks by Marc-Andre Fleury. Arizona, that's different. Marc-Andre Fleury had kind of regained the number one job, apparently, as John Hines has been riding him of late, trying to make the postseason because Fleury's been so hot. And then, that would change very dramatically, unfortunately. We'll get back to that in a minute. It's 3 games to preview, by the way. I'm losing my mind. No, we did play Anaheim. I jumped ahead. We did shut out Anaheim 2-0. I actually went out of order. Wow, I'm a real mess today. Kaprizov also scoring another goal. Again, in the top line right now, or the line that's assembled most of the time. Hartman, Boldy, and Kaprizov. It's okay. It's nice, I guess. It's better than like the same old story with Zuccarello. It's nice to have those guys split up, Kaprizov and Zuccarello and all that. But sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't, as John Hines has been shuffling the lines a heck of a lot more than Dean Evason ever did. Dean Evason was more of a, like, this is what we do. People got frustrated at that, and now people are getting frustrated that John Hines shuffles the lines too much. Well, sometimes, yeah, you could say that. I know Mike Yeo shuffled the lines a lot. I remember that quite a bit. He would kind of move things around, so I don't know what to say. If something isn't working, change it, that type of thing. If it is working, don't change it, you know, until you need to or something. If it's an injury, God forbid, knock on wood, that's not the case, which unfortunately that's all that happens here. It seems like his guy... Okay, I'll get off of that. I don't want to say that too much. We're kind of healthy. Not really, but at least some of the super important players are, so that's good. We lost another super important one. It's just wonderful. But yes, Hardman instead of Eck because of the injury. Duh. And that one's lingering a bit, unfortunately. It's not like a catastrophe, but it's certainly not a he's back right away tomorrow like last time around. Unfortunately, him being Joel Eriksson Eck, of course. Bogosian had a pretty good week, though. Yeah, he had that assist in the St. Louis game. Also scored his third goal of the year. And again, a former Atlanta Thrasher, which got me babbling about the North Stars remaining, hanging around. So, yeah, Madonna was the last North Star, and that was the end of the North Stars by 2011. Amazing how long that was. 14 years. So, because Madonna was still super young at the time. I wonder how many Thrashers are remaining. Because I know Andrew Brunette was Atlanta Thrasher, but obviously he was much older. So, he was... I think he was the second leading scorer on that team for a while, or even the leading scorer. It was him and Ray Ferraro, if I remember correctly. Those are the two best players, basically, on the offensive side of the puck. The rink, all that stuff. Kuznetsov, yep, this was his first game, actually, and he was 6-3 in the faceoff circle. Kuznetsov finally starting in the NHL and looked the part. Really smooth skater, really solid, really strong skater, strong on the puck. Physical, you know, uses his body. Even though he's not a tall guy, he's muscular. Like obviously, Kirill Kaprizov. Neither one of them is a tall guy, but they're tough, and that's a good thing. And Kuznetsov, Menat Kuznetsov is bringing that to the Minnesota Wild, and he's pretty good in the faceoff circle too. It would actually eventually lead to his first assist in the third game, which we are about to go to. A 2-0 shutout victory for Marc-André Fleury. And he's climbing the charts. He'll probably never get to number one all-time, but he's pretty solidly in number two all-time. The Anaheim Ducks are in legitimate tanking mode, whether they're trying to or not. They are legitimately tanking. 16 shots on goal. Marc-André Fleury, easy night. So, yes, Fleury looks good, but again, he only faced 16 shots. So, yeah. We forward all the way up to Tuesday, the 19th of March, after going from the 16th to the 19th. And 17th, of course, that was against St. Louis. That was depressing. A loss to the, that was the 16th. The 15th was the Anaheim game. 16th was St. Louis. Okay. All the way up to the 19th, though. Jake Lucchini, that's in the third period. Adam Beckman getting a second assist of the season. A nice pass, actually, and the Lucchini snapping a one-timer to the back of the net to make it 4-0. Kaprizov, 36th goal of the season. And Kuznetsov would win a faceoff, basically. Get the puck to Freddy Gaudreau, and who eventually got the puck to Merrill, who released the shot and scored his fourth goal of the season. And Merrill has been playing a heck of a lot better, particularly when he's been with Declan Chisholm, who's been it's been a fantastic find, obviously. A lot of people really excited about what he's brought to Minnesota. Again, the Lions going all over the place. This is... Yeah, it's weird. Hardman, Foligno, and Boldy. It's kind of a weird group, but it works, I guess. I think Rossi's been with them. They've kind of been interchangeable. Hardman, Rossi. Kuznetsov has mostly been on the third line most of the time. And then Beckman's been on the fourth line with Lucchini and Shaw. Kuznetsov, though. First assist of the season, winning the faceoff. First assist in the NHL, winning a faceoff to make it 2-0 at the end of the day. A pretty comfortable, solid win. And again, Boldy, Hartman, and Kaprizov on the power play, with Kaprizov getting his 36th goal of the season. Philip Gustafson stopped all 27 shots that came his way. He faced a little bit more than did Marc-André Fleury, but it's back-to-back shuttles versus the Ducks. They've been shut out a lot, haven't they, this year? Like, a lot. They're the worst goal-scoring team in the league. So, we'll take it. It's a nice, solid win for Minnesota, I suppose. And again, first assist for Kuznetsov again. 6-3 in the faceoff circle. Again, so, center that can win faceoffs, what a concept. But even Ryan Hartman, 14 wins to 6 losses. But again, the Ducks, I mean, there's some decent players over there, I suppose. It's sad, though. You win 4-0 against the Ducks team that's not really, you know, they're just not really a factor. There's no resistance at all. They're just not. And then Alex Kilhorn, though, obviously, again, an unfortunate situation with Jonas Brodin, of all people. There's been multiple conversations. It is the right leg. Multiple conversations. Could it be the knee? Could it be the ankle? It sounds like it's the ankle, at least according to Joe O'Donnell in the postgame, that it sounded like the ankle rolled a bit. And so it might be a sprain with a SP, not a T, of course. A little more severe, enough that he would miss a few games. But we'll see. It's just an unfortunate situation. Kilhorn, again, with a fairly vicious hit there. You know, the timing and the angle, that type of thing. Unfortunately, putting Brodin in an inopportune position. And we'll see how that turns out. Brodin, obviously a massive loss for the Minnesota Wild. Joel Eriksson-Ek, obviously out with the injury. Goligoski scratched, you know, because it is what it is. Unfortunately, Vinny Lattari scratched in this one. And Dakota Mermitz, who will enter the lineup versus the Los Angeles Kings. Yes. there's obviously guys like Chisholm and stuff that ain't going anywhere, and I'm glad they're not. Chisholm needs to be in the NHL all the time, active. Shaw, also nice to see him active out there. He got awfully frustrated versus the LA Kings last night, and so did everybody else. Everybody watching the game that had a horse in it with the Minnesota Wild, of course, not people on the TNT. Maybe they were frustrated because I'm sure their ratings dropped. Like, you know, they probably dropped like a rock by the time it was 3-0 in the first period. It's like, 3-0? Really? 3-0? Victor Arvidsson with only his first goal of the season. Yeah, if you could stop the puck once in a while, that'd be great. But they didn't. They just didn't. Marc-Andre Fleury got shelled. And no, they weren't all his fault, but he still got shelled regardless. The play in front of him wasn't good. There were some bad bounces, especially on the Arvidsson goal. And I don't know. He just simply got beat by Kopitar as well. That was disappointing. No matter who's on the ice, Brock Faber or whoever, Brock Faber going against his former club in the Wild, utterly destroyed by the LA Kings again, as we did earlier this season. Whew, just imagine if we had to play this team in the first round of the playoffs. It's just a rotten matchup this year. Like, every year's different, isn't it? Some years, it's like the Wild look pretty competitive against the LA Kings. Other years, it's just like, it's kind of like this. This is kind of like a Dallas Stars game. You know, this felt like we were playing the Dallas Stars. It really did. I thought there was a little green in those jerseys, a little bit of green maybe going on. Those black jerseys, black and silver jerseys, a little, add the green a little bit. No, you get the idea. David Rittich, who was mediocre forever with the Calgary Flames and other clubs. He got better pretty much as soon as he left the Flames, though, because I don't know. It's like he was kind of semi the goalie of the future, maybe kind of like he was like the Gustafson in a way, and it just never happened. You know, he was always kind of playing behind this guy and that guy. But there was hope that maybe he would be the guy someday, and it just didn't happen. And eventually was traded away. We'll see what happens with Gustafson. Or, you know, he was almost more like a Kakkonen with the Flames than a Gustafson, though. At the end of the day, Fiala with a goal and an assist. Good for him, I guess. Pierre-Luc Dubois with 16 penalty minutes. Yeah, it was a mess out there. There was a lot of penalties. There was a lot of frustration. Penalty minutes everywhere. The Kings in the Wild. Mason Shaw went berserk a bit late in the game. Extreme frustration. He really wanted to, you know, knock players out. He was mad as hell and not going to take anymore. Even Declan Chrisom, I'll never get it right. Chrisom. Yeah, multiple 10-minute penalties. That would be the whole, what do they call it, unsportsmanlike conduct. What a damn mess that was. Yeah, all of them. Hartman at 16 penalty minutes. Jiminy Christmas. That's crazy town, man. Goudreau took the most face-offs, apparently, and he won a ton of them. Good for Freddie Goudreau in a 6-0 loss, but I guess 14 wins, 4 losses. I guess it's okay. Kuznetsov, again, 3 wins, 3 losses. And that's about all you can say. I mean, nobody scored anything. It was just a mess, and guys got frustrated and lost their mind. Brock Faber was a -3. Including that Kopitar one-timer. Obviously, surefire Hall of Famer. Multiple cups. And, has he been like a Selke? And he's a great offensive scoring center as well. He's an outstanding player forever. Alex Lafreniere. I'm just messing around. Different player. Drew Doughty, obviously a legendary defenseman. A lot of those old Los Angeles legends still hanging around from those Stanley Cup days. And they look like a good team right now, no doubt about it. Byfield got an assist. He was another guy with a, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. 10 minutes everywhere. What a mess. What a nasty game. 6-0. Fleury, again, some bad bounces, but also, again, he could have been better. Certainly reality setting in a huge way. And the Lucy pulling the ball away, this is definitely what this game was. This time you're going to kick these Kings to the moon. Ugh. That's all you could say about that. Might as well just say exactly our feelings about the LA Kings. Charlie Brown, anything you got to say about him? I agree, Chuck. That was awful, or flat-out awful. Yep, we went with Chuck today instead of, well, the Twins manager, Rocco Baldelli, he's in Florida at the moment, so we'll get back to him. maybe he'll chime in on the phone, right? No, I'm just kidding. That is effing awful. Yeah, that's what this game was in so many ways. National television humiliation. A Minnesota team getting humiliated in L.A.? Gee, that's never happened before. Like Wolves and Lakers back in the day and stuff. We're on national television and we're playing the Lakers and, oh, yeah, it's great. Wonderful. But anyhow, we're going to pass out the Mike Modano Award. It's going to still be Kirill Kaprizov. Just another great week. He's been outstanding. He's been the best player, plain and simple. He's been the main positive. It could have gone to Marc-Andre Fleury. There was a real shot at it, but then this game, it's like, well, how can I give it to him after this? Kirill Kaprizov has been the main positive. The James Shepherd Memorial, I don't know. I mean, is it Freddie Goudreau in that pathetic-looking penalty shot, pathetic-looking shootout attempt. It was an attempt. He airballed, like in basketball, like you airball a baseline shot, shooting the ball over the rim, basically. That's kind of what it looked like. Or it's just off to the side, which would be, oh my God, that'd be embarrassing. I've seen people do that before. Oh my. It's pretty bad. Looked awful. Yes. And that's what this game was. So we'll go with Freddie Goudreau. I know I'm picking on him, and everybody's picking on Freddie Goudreau. Dean Evason, please come back to the NHL. Coach the Senators. Coach the Sharks. The Sharks. Duh, we were freaking awful. You know, we flipping sucked. Yeah, he'd be saying that quite a bit, but maybe they'd get a little better. I don't know. I don't know if it's a coach's fault or anything over there. It's just the personnel. There's nothing there, really. Bunch of old wild rejects, and they're not playing well at all. Kakanen, obviously, is no longer there, though. He got traded to New Jersey with Jake Allen, of all people. What a weird deal that is. I don't know what happened to the Devils, either. They're kind of like the Imps. They're not the Devils. They're the Imps. So, pretty much. Now that I've babbled on way too much, I mean way too much, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from DraftKings. We're going to preview the game, the upcoming game. We're going to talk a bit about the prospects. Why the heck not? Back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 2. First, before we jump into the upcoming game and the prospects and looking at playoffs and all that kind of cute stuff, not the Wild in the playoffs, but these other prospects. We'll see if the Wild make it, but otherwise, time to hear from DraftKings right here and right now. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. As for upcoming games tonight, Moneyline Rangers at Bruins. Epic. It's one of those East Coast 6-10 starts. Rangers are a plus 120. They're the visiting club at Boston. Minus 142 for the Bruins. Philadelphia, Carolina at Carolina. Philadelphia is a plus 200. Carolina minus 245. Really? Really interesting. Islanders at Detroit. What the heck? They're even on the money line, but on the puck line, I guess we'll switch that up. So not sure what's going on. The puck line is different. That is minus 265 for the visiting Islanders, plus 215 for the hosting Red Wings. Got at least one more notable. Sabres and Oilers. Yeah, I like it. Money line, Oilers, the host, minus 230. Buffalo Sabres, plus 190. Kraken and Golden Knights. I love talking about the Golden Knights. Plus, what's Vegas? You know, I mean, what's Vegas all about, right? This is, again, the money line. Vegas, the host, minus 192, and the Seattle Kraken, plus 160. Okay, one just for bleeps and giggles. The San Jose Sucks. I mean, San Jose Sharks are the host of the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Sharks are plus 300 and plus 300. Plus 300. Dang. Tampa Bay, minus minus 380. So, yeah. Wow. It would take a lot to actually get anything if you bet on the Lightning, which is funny when you look at that, those odds. But, yeah, I'm not telling you who to bet on. Anyhow, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. That would, of course, be the Hockey Podcast Network. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-978-9777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age restrictions varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights are reserve ed dada. And now we return to the upcoming game against the St. Louis Blues. Yeah, I don't know, St. Louis Blues. Yeah, and we play them on the 23rd. That'd be 2 days from now, of course, Saturday, and it's a matinee in Xcel Energy Center. Oh, matinees and Xcel Energy Center, you know how those go. I don't know, not usually the best. St. Louis, no injuries, out of respect, even though I don't like the Blues very much. No injuries, just being respectful. Unfortunately for us, we might want to knock on wood a little bit around here. Stop getting hurt, damn it. Jonas Brodin, or stop injuring our players, damn it. Whoever it is. Killhorn, stop killing wild players. Anyhow, Spurgeon's out for the remainder of the season. Joel Eriksson Ek will not be with the team on their current road trip, but could return on Saturday. Okay, so that's the rumor according to Joe Smith of The Athletic. So he could return versus St. Louis Blues on Saturday. Okay, so, all right, that's really nice to know. As for Jonas Brodin, did not play on Wednesday, March 21st against the Los Angeles Kings. And, yep, it's feared slash believed to be an ankle. Maybe not feared. Feared sounds like more ominous. Where it could be like, you know, major stuff, which I don't think it is, but I don't know. I don't know what to say. It sounds a little bit ominous, I guess, because they're not like, I have no update, you know, so that's what Hines kept saying. As for the team comparisons, now I'm going to talk about this game for a half hour, so be ready. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding, because it's just one, you know. Goals for St. Louis is less than the Wild, because Kaprizov's been on a tear. St. Louis is 26th in the league in goals. Minnesota 17th. Goals against St. Louis 15th. Minnesota 21st, despite the kind of surge for a while. A couple of shutouts didn't help as much as you'd think. Power play, St. Louis is 25th. The Wild's 15th. Penalty kill, St. Louis 20th. Minnesota 29th. Penalty minutes, meaning getting in the box. St. Louis is number 2 in the league at staying out of the box. Minnesota 30th. There is a almost 400 penalty minute difference between the two teams, which is freaking woeful. Something along the likes of, I guess, what does it look like? 365 more penalty minutes for Minnesota. It's freaking awesome. It's just awesome. Actually, 75. 75. Yeah, 375. Wow. The Blues trail, the Blues lead the series. The Wild did win the first one. John Hines' first game. I say that every single time we play the Blues. This will be the last time I'll be mentioning it was John Hines' first game because it's the last time we play the Blues. Can we tie this sucker up and get a split in the season series? Well, if you want to make the playoffs so bad, which I don't blame you if you're a player or a coach, of course you do. As a fan, yeah, it's nice, I guess. And there's always that hope that we're the next whoever. But I don't know. First of all, we can't even stay healthy anyway, it seems like. Every time the Wild make the playoffs, important player X is out. And then important player Y is out. It's like ridiculous. Every bleeping time. And even still, it's not like we're stacked like certain teams. Obviously, that 91 North Star team was pretty stacked with talented players, by the way. Be it veterans and young guys. Obviously, Mondano was the young star. Of course, we traded Larry Murphy away because we're freaking idiots for a gritty third pair defenseman because we're freaking idiots. That's why. That's the only explanation why you'd trade away Larry Murphy. Unless he said, basically put a gun to, could have put a gun to Bobby Clark's head and said, you know, this trade to the Pittsburgh Penguins is going to go through. One thing goes on this paper, either your signature or your brains. It's one of the two. That's the only other explanation I can imagine because I don't know why. Yeah, that one still eats at me. It's only been 32, 33 years, but it's 33 years. It still bugs me, though, because it's stupid. I hate trades like that so much. I don't care if he wasn't playing super spectacular the first couple of weeks of the year, because that's what was kind of the vibe. But I don't know. Move on, right? Someday I'll move on. Someday. But no, I mean, you had Brian Propp, guys like that. You know, you had some nice players on that team. Even though they were a little older, they were good. You know, like Brian Propp, Bobby Smith, you know, Broughton, blah, blah, blah. I could go on all day. Dave Gagne, who wasn't old. He was like kind of youngish. He wasn't young, but younger. Anyhow, keep going. Will the Wild beat the Blues? I don't know. I don't know, like Bill Guerin would say. Kirill Kaprizov has 77 points. That's wonderful. Robert Thomas has 73. Buchnevich with 52. Kyrou with 50. Again, he had that shootout goal that helped win the game. Unfortunately, put the Blues ahead. And then, of course, our guy, Freddie Gaudreau, did what he did. He made a mistake. Let's just leave it at that. Brandon Saad is an instigating son of a gun. He always has been. He'll maybe not instigating, but he'll drive you crazy into doing something stupid. That's pretty much what he does. He will piss people off and draw penalties. That's what he does very well, actually. Did it a lot with the hated Blackhawks when that team used to mock and ridicule us all the time. Because they just did. They were wonderful. Oscar Sundqvist. Sometimes I forget about him. Yeah, he was on the Wild, but we barely used him, damn it. Only 21 points in 69 games, but he's more of a, I don't know, steady guy. Scandella, 8 points in 59 games. Nick Schultz, eat your heart out. Yeah, he played in like, 1,300 games and had like 300 points. You know, I don't even think he had 300 points in, Nick Schultz. He'd have like 8 points in like, 78 games every year. It was weird. He was quite an offensive defenseman in, lower leagues, like AHL and, juniors and such, but I guess it just didn't translate. I'm babbling too much. The Wild don't beat the Blues because we just don't, and these matinee games are crappy. I don't know. Even though the Wild have been playing so well, we just don't beat the Blues, and matinee games rarely go well for the Minnesota Wild. Like, sometimes they do, but I don't know. I just never get a good vibe from them. I just don't. Seems to be the same problem with the Timberwolves historically as well. But the Wild will lose 3-2 to the Blues. Most likely got a score on the Minnesota side of the equation is going to be Matt Boldy. Matt Boldy will score. I believe it'll be his 26th goal of the season. I believe. 25. I was off by one. He didn't get the 25th yet. Would like to believe Joel Eriksson-Ek will score his 30th. We'll see if he plays. He's got 60 points already on the season, but then, doggone it, he got hurt. Doggone it. Oh, Joel Eriksson-Ek, I'd love to see you get to 70, man. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be nice where Boldy could get to 60 again? Awesome, like last year. Very possible. He should. Kaprizov hopefully up in the 90s. Now that I'm babbling again, the Wild will not beat the St. Louis Blues, like I just said. let's start looking at the prospects a bit. I often like to go to Iowa first, and why the heck not? They've had some moments, but generally not. Damon Hunt, 20 points. on the season now. 2 goals, 18 assists. He is the leading scoring defenseman. And the good news about Damon Hunt compared to other players like Ryan O'Rourke, who is still at minus 29 on the year. Minus 29. And he is one of those guys who's looked on as a reliable, solid defenseman. I know. I'm not ripping on him. It's just he is struggling. You can't say he isn't. Even Kaden Bankier, but he's super young. He's only 20. Minus 22 on the year. Veterans like Stephen Fogarty is a minus 16. What the hell? And then you have Nujar Kyra. He's a plus 9. That is amazing. He's a plus 9 on this Wild team. And you also have Brendan Miller, also a plus 9. He's a veteran 29-year-old defenseman from Orangeville, Canada. Ontario, you know. Lots of penalty minutes. You know, he's a tough guy. He's kind of the Middleton of the defense, you could say. He's not that big, but he's tough. You know, that kind of thing, I guess. 89 penalty minutes, but he's a plus 9 on the year. And this club, the team that loses like 4-1 every game, you know, they don't score and they get scored on, that kind of thing. Yeah, they lost 1-0, they lost 2-0, they lost 3-1, 3-2, or 3-1, 4-1. Yeah, it's annoying as hell. But yeah, there's two guys that are a plus 9. Kyra is one of them, and Brendan Miller. Damon Hunt is only a minus 2, though, again, which does tell you, compared to the other defensemen on the club, he's pretty far along compared to the others. Carson Lambos is minus 14. That's not that good, and he's only got 12 points on La Saison. Spacek, he's a minus 12, 8 points in 49 games. We'll see. He's obviously extremely young as well. Braska racks up the penalty minutes. He's a tough guy. He's only 21, and some people like him. I mean, he's from Czech Republic, I guess. I thought it was Czechia. What the heck do I know? Novak was up with Iowa. He's back down with the ECHL's Iowa Heartlanders. Koporowski, who is from Iowa, Bettendorf, Iowa, 4 points in 5 games. All right. He was one of the acquisitions this past week. Who did he come for? What was it in the... who was that one? Was that the Maroon trade? I think it was. I think that was the Maroon trade, where obviously the other one. Ovechkinov, talk is now that the Wild will let him go in the summer. I don't know. So that's like what I'm hearing. I believe that was Justin Bakke mentioned that. So that's unfortunate if that's the case. So I don't know. Then what'd you get him for? Damn it. Just to throw him away? But I don't know. It's too bad. Maybe he doesn't want to be in the U.S. Who knows? You'd think he would. Swayne's only played 7 games all season. That'd be Nick Swayne, the former Duluth, you know, clutch star. Only 7 games. It sucks, man. Burnsville, Minnesota native, 7th-round pick. It's a bummer. It really is. Elson also was an acquisition. Maybe he was in the Boston trade. I get some of these trades mixed up. Or he might. Oh, no, he was the Nick Paton trade. Excuse me. 3 points for him in only 5 games at 30 years of age from New Minster, British Columbia. Western Hockey League, anyone? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Michael Milne, who's a great skater, apparently. 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 games in 27. 9 points in 27 games. I am just an absolute mess today. Please forgive me. I don't know why. I don't know if I don't get enough sleep or what my problem is. I certainly didn't drink too much coffee. At least I had some. But it's like I'm jittery and it's weird. And I'm sorry. I feel stupid. Zane McIntyre, 3-13 on the season. He was so good the last 2 years. And this year, it's a combination of everything. Just the Iowa Wild, it's just not a good vibe. I don't know. It sucks. Why can't the Iowa Wild be good? Wouldn't that be nice if they were good? Like, at least upper half of the AHL? I'm not asking for, you know, Calder Cup champion every year. Because it doesn't exist. Supposedly, we had a minor league team win one long, long ago. We had them also lose in 6 games, I believe. That was Mike Yeo's final year with that club before being hired/promoted to the Minnesota Wild. And then not long after that, they moved to Iowa, them being the Houston Arrows, and became the Iowa Wild. Isn't that cute? Otherwise, the Pavel Novak, 18 points in 32 games. Most of the year has been in the ECHL. Again, trying to build up that confidence, building up his overall game. He's a minus 16 for the Iowa Heartlanders, so that's unfortunate. But again, he missed an entire calendar year treating cancer, so it's kind of important. Kyle Mostas has been putting up the points for the most part for a defenseman. He's only a minus 4 in 25 games at the ECHL level. 4 goals, 14 assists. Kyle Mostas went from a guy who had basically no points, hardly ever. You know, I mean, he'd get like 10 points in 50 games. He was one of those kind of guys, you know, one of those type of guys that, you know, this was in juniors. And then last year he just blew up. And he's still an offensive player now at the ECHL level. He has had action at the AHL, correct? Yeah, 18 games and 3 points. So still getting, you know, still adjusting. He's only 20 years of age. So ECHL comes in very handy, no matter what you think of it as possibly hockey purgatory, because it can be. It can be, but it doesn't have to be hockey purgatory. It doesn't have to be. These guys could definitely emerge into something. And I'm hoping so, especially guys like Novak and Masters. I mean, again, they're super duper young. The other lineup is filled with, you know, the Iowa Wild is filled with a ton of prospects. Unfortunately, a lot of them aren't doing so hot, which is frustrating. You'd like to see one or two of them be good enough to move up to the National Hockey League. And Damon Hunt, I think, should be that guy, which possibly could open a spot up for Kyle Masters. And, but at the same time, again, he does need to develop and adjust to the higher pro level. This is pretty much the lowest pro level you can be in the North America for the most part. I suppose there's independent leagues and stuff, but whew, I don't know. Let's stay off of that for the moment. If you have any hopes to be a National Hockey League player, yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know. It's crazy talk, I suppose, a little bit. So let's look at the KHL playoffs, shall we? This would be related to Danila Yurov. Metallurg, MG, we'll call it. Whatever it's called. Magnitogorsk, that's not that hard. I'm probably mispronouncing it. They did win in the first round versus Amur. That would be, yep, they did beat them in the first round, 4-2. And now they're up 2-0 versus Spartak, Moscow, apparently. At least they're going to pronounce Moscow, I hope. St. Petersburg's an easy one to pronounce, too. Yeah, they're losing that team. But then again, we'll get off of that. And that might be, they'll be playing one of those clubs in the conference finals if Metallurg ultimately gets to the semifinal. We'll call it conference, semifinal, it's the same thing. Same type of setup. But Metallurg is up 2-0. That's great in the second round of the playoffs. So it'd be nice to get some playoff experience at the professional level for a guy by the name of Danila Yurov, who is insanely important for the Wild's future. In the 8 games in the postseason so far for Danila Yurov, he's a right winger, shoots left, I guess. Yeah, he's one of those, 20 years of age, who is eligible for the AHL and the NHL. Well, anybody can be signed to the NHL contract if they're actually good enough at age 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever. Obviously a very huge, gigantic step forward this year from 12 to 49 points in pretty much 60 games equally. Again, only 3 points so far in the 8 playoff games, which is a little disappointing, which, again, sounds very Minnesota-like, doesn't it? It does. But, again, he's only 20. It is what it is. And his team is actually winning, which is not like Minnesota. The Minnesota Wild have never led 2-0 in a second-round series, ever. We've trailed 2-0, but we've never led 2-0 pretty much in any series, actually. So, ever. It's always 1-1 or down 2-0, honestly, when it comes to the Wild. 2 games into any playoff series ever. So, well, I mean, at least his team is winning, and hope they win it. That'd be great. Liam Ogren. That's the guy. No postseason, apparently, at least at the moment. No. 19 points now, 12 games, 7 assists, and 26 games for the Swedish Hockey League. I believe they're out, actually. He's a plus 12 on the year, though, so impressive. Like, not insane stats that jump out at you, but still impressive. It's the Swedish Hockey League. It's the professional Swedish Hockey League. And Sweden's got some pretty nice players over the years and currently and stuff. 19 points in 26 games and a plus 12, which I think is a pretty impressive statistic, actually. So, go Liam Ogren. Might be in North America next year, maybe. That's a rumor, possibly. So, maybe not with Minnesota, maybe not. But he'd probably look awfully good in the AHL, though. At least I think he would. Kuznetsov, he's on the Wild now. Yes, 1 assist in 3 games. All these shows with Marek Kuznetsov as a prospect in the KHL. He's on the Wild now. Isn't that cool? The Minnesota Wild. Isn't that cool? It just, you know, you smile ear to ear when you see that kind of thing. A guy you've been keeping up with for a while. A lot like Brandon Duhaime for so long. And so it was damn sad to see him go just for that reason alone. You know what I mean? It really was. Big Ten tournament, kind of college hockey conversation. So obviously, this is the big weekend when we get to find out where everybody is seated. At the moment, it's like unofficial. The Minnesota Gophers are number 6 in the NCAA at the moment for men's hockey, of course. They did lose in the semifinal of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan 2-1, which sucks. The Michigan will be playing a upstart Ohio State team that if they win, they squeeze into the tournament and knock somebody else out. Don't think we're going to get knocked out, though, if we're in the top 6 or 8 or whatever in all of college hockey. I'm anticipating the Minnesota Gophers getting number 2 seed. But that's my guess, which is a decent path to get to the championship. You know, eventually you have to get to, in the regionals. You know, I think the Gophers will have a number 2 seed in whatever super bracket they're in, whatever. And eventually, bracket, conference, region, it's not super. You don't get to the super until you get to the semifinal, the final four, Frozen Four. If the Gophers do get to the Frozen Four, though, their chances of winning are higher than normal because it's back in Xcel Energy Center just like it was back in 2002. And last time the Gophers were in St. Paul in the Frozen Four, it was a wonderful time. It truly was, and I hope the Gophers can make it. We're going to have to get past a pretty good team to get there because we're not a number 1 seed this time, but even the number 2 seeds are pretty good usually, and hopefully the Gophers can get that done. In my humble opinion, yes, I'm a Gopher hockey fan. I'm not a fan of St. Cloud or any of the others, but good luck to them, of course. Hopefully the Gophers can get the job done at the end of the day. I better keep moving here. Other college teams, college players, college this, college that. Ryan Healy of Harvard, again, 22 points in 29 games. Harvard is out, basically. So, yeah, at least I think they are. I don't think they're in their tournament. I don't think they won their tournament or anything. So, we'll just, the regular season's over. At the end of the day is what matters most at the time. Regular Renz, who should be a threat, potentially. He's, he took a step forward last year. He barely got any points, only 9 points in 37 games last year, 26 points in 38 games this year. He is a left wing who actually shoots left. He's only 19 years of age, and he's playing for the Denver Pioneers, the dreaded Denver Pioneers. Ugh, they are number 3 in the country at the moment. Boston College, every single vote you can get for number 1. They got all 50 votes. Boston College, Paul Fenton's club, no doubt about that. And then Boston University as well. But that's okay. Matt Boldy, Boston College, right? So then Boston U, that was Jordan Greenway. That didn't turn out quite as good as Matt Boldy. But, Boston College, like, unanimous. Wow. Well, watch them lose in the semifinal. That'd be funny. Or watch them lose in the region final before they get to the Frozen Four. Otherwise, Boston College and Boston University have hung our heads on their fireplace mantle many times in the NCAA tournament, and it sucks. We've lost to Boston U and BC so many times, and I hate it. Quinnipiac, the defending national champions, who beat us, number 7 in the country. Maine, who we beat in 2002. They did win a national championship a long time ago now, but they're finally getting back in the mix again. Maine, remember them? Yeah. So that'll be quite interesting. Michigan has a chance to shoot up a bit, maybe with that victory, potentially. Obviously beating the Gophers is important, and then ultimately possibly winning the tournament altogether. Blobbity frickin' blah. I hate that we lost. God, I hate that. Only 1 goal, too. Weak, man. Weak. Michigan is, like, lethal on the power play. So, like, insane, right? Aren't they, like, 30%? That's, like, crazy town. Hunter Haight, 64 points in 65 games. Again, and it took a pretty hot week to get to, a point a game. It's kind of disappointing, considering he was ahead of a point a game last year with Saginaw. So, a little disappointing. 25 goals, 39 assists in 65 games, 64 points. But he is a plus 12. That's a big positive as well. But again, it's the juniors, so it's the OHL. JC Jimmy Clark, Gophers, 10 points in 37 regular season games. Kalen Parker, 38 points. He's a defenseman, a 19-year-old defenseman for the Moose Jaw Warriors. This is not college. Moose Jaw Warriors, 38 points and a plus 19 in the WHL. Nice. 19 years of age. This is the older guy, Punk. 20 points in 37 games. Minus 9, though, for a Duluth team that just wasn't as good. The Hermantown native Aaron Pionk, left shot defenseman, potentially. We'll see. Riley Height, oh my goodness gracious. Oh, it's time to graduate, Riley. It's time to graduate. There's rumors that he may have a shot at the National Hockey League next year. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, they're going to give him a chance. Plus 31. This is 64 WHL games. Obviously, again, Adam Beckman was a 100-point guy, and he's finally, you know, got 2 points. I think he's got 2 assists this year in the NHL. He had one a couple of years ago from behind the net. It was a pretty good play. He was playing behind the net, and I forgot how he set who he set up, but it was nice. It might have been Boldy. I can't remember, but it was. I think it was one of the younger players, though, on the club at the time. It might have been Boldy a couple of years ago already. But 64 games, I already said that. 80 assists on the year, 34 goals for 114 points for Riley Height. And, yeah, I mean, they are going to give him a... Obviously, he will have a shot at making the NHL club next year. But, unfortunately, at the age of 18, he can't go to the AHL. So it's either juniors or the National Hockey League. He does play center, does Riley Height, and he's a good passer. Obviously, 80 assists. I mean, he's got the ability. Can he translate to the NHL? Well, would be great. Last year in 9 playoff games, they're not at the postseason yet, but getting very close. 9 games, 8 points, 2 goals, 6 assists, 9 penalty minutes. He does get a couple penalty minutes, that's for sure. But he was a guy who was a -3 last year. He's a plus 31 this year. And that was a playoff team last year that got to the second round, apparently. Plus 31. Wow. Pretty good. Pretty good, Riley. Pretty good. Yeah, very exciting. Very exciting. Hopefully he can translate, because if he does. And, you know, he's a fairly high pick, too. 64th overall. I mean, this isn't a guy who's like, oh, let's see. Oh, it's a miracle. Yay. You know, some fifth-round pick. And then he ends up just pretty much being a quad A guy, you know, AHL at best, you know, one of those kind of guys who they're too good for the AHL, but not good enough for the NHL. That's a quad A player. I've mentioned that a few times. Rasmus Kumpalainen. I always come in with the New Orleans accent for some reason, even has nothing to do with New Orleans at all. He's from Lahti, Finland. Lahti. He does look like Koivu a tiny bit. You can definitely see they're from the same country at the very least. You can kind of see it, yep. 56 games, 28 points, 27 assists. Very strong week this past week. And he signed an entry-level contract with the Minnesota Wild. Which doesn't have to start right away unless he makes the Wild, I guess. So at least that's what I've heard. Maybe I'm full of crap here, at least to the AHL at some point. But maybe he will. Plus 13 on the year, so he takes care of business when he plays. Good, solid player, obviously. And he was the 53rd overall pick. He was actually taken ahead of Riley Height. So look at it that way. He was taken 11 picks ahead of Riley Height. So that's pretty interesting. And he is in North America already. And he did sign his entry-level contract. Charlie Stromel, 8 points on the regular season. Again, 4 points less than last year in the same amount of games. 2 less assists and 2 less goals. But a -3 is the one improvement. And less penalty minutes. In fact, 39 less penalty minutes. So there are improvements for Charlie Stromel, and we'll see. Obviously, the production offensively is not there. Big, solid player, though, at 6'3", 212. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with Charlie Stromel. Wisconsin lost right away, didn't they? Yeah, they did. Ohio State beat them, like, right away. They were the number 2 seed. They were ahead of the Gophers? Yeah, they were. Gophers are the number 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament. But Ohio State beat them 3 games to 1? No, that's just a single game. That's a series. 2 games to 1. Wow. Interesting. Interesting to see that happening, actually. Yeah, Wisconsin lost in the first round, basically, is what we're trying to say. Ohio State, the number 7 seed, is in the... Michigan State. They got beat by Michigan State. Duh, I'm stupid. Sorry. Michigan State beat Ohio State. Okay, Michigan State's the number 1 team in the Big Ten playing against Michigan. So, cross-state rivals, that kind of crap going on. So, Michigan State's ranked number 4 in the country. Number 4. So, Wisconsin is ranked number 9. And that's how that goes. They've lost more games than the Gophers. So, it helps the Gophers' ranking be higher. And again, I'm projecting a number 2 seed for the Minnesota Gophers. Possibly in the same conference of Michigan State. It could happen. We might have to beat Michigan State. That's just me guessing. It could be Denver. We'll see. Could be Denver or Michigan State. Those are my guesses. But if we're a number two seed, might end up with, yeah. Who knows? Might even be unlucky enough to be with, like, Boston U. And BC was looked on as the number one team in all of hockey. But so were the Gophers last year, and the Gophers didn't win. So maybe we can be the Quinnipiac of this year. Let's frustrate the other team into staying back, and then ultimately we score the game-winning goal in OT. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be fun? With that, we're going to take a quick break and come back for fan interaction. Back here on Brave the Wild, segment number three, fan interaction segment. Got to love it, and I certainly do. At Brave the Wild, at Brave the Wild is where we go, and when you want to interact with the show, hashtag BTWMN, that way I can keep everything in chronological order and organized in one column, because why the heck not, damn it. So I open things up during the course of the week. Sometimes I'll tweet this and tweet that and hashtag it so I can, you know, just in case there's replies, it'll create like a thread. That's my reasoning. I'm not trying to be like, you know, BTW this and BTW that. No. You know, I'd like to have interaction with the show. It's fun. I was saying, are you kidding me? Both the Iowa Wild and the Heartlanders got shut out at the same time. It was shut out tonight on March 15th. That was awful. 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 Derek Felsko responds with, for the Heartlanders, that's a bit more unusual, but the Wild, you know, Iowa Wild, it's far more common and not a big surprise when they only managed 13 shots on goal over the whole game against Grand Rapids. Hashtag AHL last night. Yep, that was bad. It was freaking terrible. You know, just think about that. Yeah, the Heartlanders had been better. That was why I was kind of like, really? Both teams? And I know Iowa Wild's been awful. Nickman22 says, the Iowa Wild rock. I was telling him, yep, I'm a fan. It's just been really frustrating the past couple of years. So, yeah. A poll by Derek Felska for his podcast, of course. Crease and Assist Podcast. Crease Assist Podcast. Derek Felska, Teresa Ferries, and Kalisha Townsville. I posted out, how optimistic are you about the Minnesota Wild chances to make the playoffs with 14 games in the regular season? We will make it, is one choice. 50-50 is another. Long shot slash not likely was my choice, and no chance, not this year. So I put long shot, not likely. It's probably closer to no chance, but I don't know. What the heck? That one won in a landslide, 63.6%. 50-50, 16.4. And there are 2 days left, but yeah. No chance, got third with 12.7, and we will make it, 7.3. Very optimistic fans, or maybe just messing around. And I saved this for this part of the show so I can get interaction with you guys. I don't want to talk about it and then say, okay, I already got into this. Chris Simon, who was with the Minnesota Wild for a moment in a frustrating trade at the time for Marian Gaborik and others, a Chuck Fletcher type of a move where it's like, really, you're just going to bring in an enforcer when we're trying to make some kind of a run? And there was even rumors about, like, Forsberg at one point. How cool would that have been? From Philadelphia, instead we got another Philadelphia Flyer, Chris Simon. A tough guy, an enforcer, who actually could play a little bit earlier in his career, but by the time the Wild got him, not so much. And not really. But, yep, to the real point, though, that really matters here. I just wanted to get in the NHL background. I apologize. Former NHL winger Chris Simon, who won the Stanley Cup with the Avalanche, dies at 52. He took his life just a few days ago, and it sounds like he suffered. It sounds like he suffered from like head injuries due to a concussion and such. He had a condition. I'm probably gonna say it wrong. I think it's ETS, but I had it up and then I lost it, so I apologize. I'm just a CTE. That's what it's called. Chronic traumatic. And so, encephalopathy. Okay, encephalopathy. Yep. It's a brain disorder likely caused by repeated head injuries. Yeah, which, unfortunately, that's, yeah. It's it really is. So it sounds like he suffered from that and he just took his own life. He must have been suffering, I guess. And truly sorry to hear that. It really is. Let's show the replies. Why is it not? Or somebody like saying bad stuff? I don't know, what the heck? Tweets that are unavailable. That's really weird. Very weird. Okay, so we'll probably get replies elsewhere, because I know there are some conversations somewhere in there. I think Derek brings it up somewhere. Otherwise, I'll have to look it up. That's weird. Why did the comments disappear? This is a weird show today. I apologize. The Derek Felska lightning round has returned. Indeed, it has, my lord. So now the person I will be mentioning will be Derek, and if it's someone else, I'll mention their name. So Derek, all the way here. At the recent Board of Governors meeting, they stated there was little want to change the 3-3 overtime. In my opinion, with teams slowing it down, regrouping, it's turning into soccer on ice. Do you think something should be done to make it more dynamic? If so, explain. Well, first of all, it probably should be... This might be a lame reason to do it. This might be a lame thing. Probably make it a little bit longer, for one. That way we don't have to go to the shootout all the time, which is, again, like soccer. Soccer, you know, could be shootouts and such. Maybe 4-on-4 instead. Maybe the players are too tired. I don't know. It's like can really burn players out. 3-on-3 sounded fun, but maybe bring it to 4-on-4, that type of thing. Or even to like playoff format, maybe 10 minutes, 5-on-5. Like a 10 minutes instead of like the short amount that it is. And then you go right into the shootout. But it would be nice to get rid of to have less shootouts and more like actual goals scored. And it does seem fluky 3-on-3. It kind of does. That's for maybe 4-on-4 is probably a good way to go. It's not, you know, I don't have a great idea necessarily, but maybe it isn't the dumbest idea in the world. Derek continues, in the PWHL, they allow the top seed to select their opening round opponent? Interesting. Should the NHL adopt this to liven up the playoffs and give all the teams a bit of a bulletin board material for either picking them or not? I don't know. I kind of like the way it is. I don't like everything about the way it is where it's stuck in the division. I think they should go to 1-8, 1-8. That's what they should do. None of the really weird stuff like in the old, I don't know if this was in hockey. Obviously, like reseeding can be good sometimes, like say an underdog, like the NFL does it. And I think the NHL used to reseed as well, like say an underdog 8th seed or whatever. Yeah, say like it's 8th seed rather than like right now, it's just 4th seed in the divisional group, whatever, can, replay whoever is next. Yeah, like whoever is next, even if it's an underdog, you could reseed it, which is, I do believe they used to do that in the NHL. Like say, an 8th seed upsets the 1st seed, but the number 2 seed, you know, did win their series, so maybe they'd have to play the number 2 team. It just so happened that way with the North Stars, but that was kind of more of just the way it was because they're still in the division. The division stuff is fun for the most part, but then again, you get sick of the same old thing over and over. Is it the Stars, the Avalanche, or the Blues? Yay, you know. For the longest time in the Blackhawks. So, yeah. I think switch to 1-8. Eliminate the divisional stuff and switch to 1-8. That's my playoff opinion. Here we go. The Minnesota Wild appear to be passing. Really? The Minnesota Wild appear to be passing on signing prospect Cervak Petrovsky. Yeah, I didn't even talk about him. I'm sorry, Cervak. Which will allow him to re-enter the draft. Do you agree with that choice? Were there other players you think the franchise gave up on too early? If so, who? I remember last week you mentioned Brendan Menel. Yeah, and that was a bummer. And I understand, Bill Guerin getting frustrated with Brendan Menel, kind of like, just screw you, I'll go to the KHL and all that for a year or for whatever amount of time that he signed for. I understand Bill Guerin's frustration, but I could also understand Menel's frustration. That's a guy, I was like, yeah, that one's way up on the list. The Wild gave up on him too quickly. One they maybe kept down in the lower, they didn't promote quick enough, was Josh Harding, but then he ultimately had MS, which is a huge bummer. So that was a bummer. Just what a shame. Such a damn shame, that one. There have been a number of them. I may have to scroll around a little bit. But yeah, Petrovsky, yeah, I think they're giving up a little quick, a little bit. The one thing, I can understand a tiny bit, he did not progress this year. He did not, but he is only 19. That's the other important factor. 55 games, 51 points, and that's 4 points less than last year in 62 games, and went from plus 4 to minus 14. Sometimes it's the players around as well. It's just a worse team than last year, that kind of thing. It doesn't look like he progressed this year, and that's frustrating. A couple guys. I don't think Hunter Haight really progressed this year. Like Danilo Yurov, he took a giant step forward. Ogren took a step forward. Not a giant step, but a giant step, or but a step. Like Gregor Laurent, step forward, so on and so forth. Ryan Helish, forward. Riley Height, forward. Blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. Where Height's obviously just been here a year anyway. There are players the Wild gave up on too quickly. I'm probably going to come up with a weird one here. Where'd he go? But, I mean, this was actually his choice, though. The goalie the Wild took a while back now, and I'm not seeing him. It's probably crazy. Yeah, I'm probably just going to make a fool of myself at the... Lindbergh. He just kind of up and left anyway. I guess that's more on him in a lot of ways. Doing pretty good in Finland. 2.48 goals against average. Yeah, he went to Finland this past year. So that's interesting. Only 2.5 goals a game, but his save percentage sucks. 89. Whatever. I'm a fool for even bringing that up. He didn't do much in the AHL. You know, like a current one, maybe Connor Dewar. That's like a much more recent one. Connor Dewar, I think we kind of moved on a little quickly here. He was showing progress. He was showing signs, and he's got to the 10-digit goals and everything. And when given opportunities, Connor Dewar, I don't think he really disappointed that much. I think they kind of gave up a little quick on him. Beckman, obviously, it's frustrating that he's not getting opportunities. Bill Belpedio, yeah, I mean, can't even get into that one. Susie, it was what it was. That was the draft thing. That was a bummer. It was a bummer losing him. Sealer, kind of what it was. I don't know. He didn't really progress all that great. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of coming back to... the big one. Kind of a big one. Eric Halla. I don't know. Yeah, that one kind of bugged me. It seemed like, yeah, like right away, his career kind of took off a bit. Unfortunately, he started suffering injuries, and that sucked so bad. God. Eric Halla is a big one with me. Eric Halla, kind of similar type of a role as Connor Dewar, who probably just, you know, should have gotten a better role than he got. He probably should have had a better role than he had. Obviously, Eric Halla could play. He could absolutely play. He was one of the best seventh-round picks in franchise history, if not the best. Probably so far, he is standing as the best seventh-round pick in Wild history. So probably Halla and Dewar. Yep, I didn't have an immediate response, and I apologize, maybe babbling a bit, but, you know, I mean, that does trigger some thought, those type of conversations, because there's always a player or two that you wish, it really. Morty says, you could say Charlie Coyle and Nito Niederreiter, but they ran themselves out. Yeah, biggest regret, Alex Tuck, yes, huge. Nick Seeler, maybe, to a lesser degree, Nico Sturm, I am missing someone. Yeah, I think Halla, and then... I think Halla is probably the one I'm going to go with overall. And then recently, Connor Dewar. Connor Dewar. I think there's, you know, I think we're going to, I don't know. I just think there's more there than we really gave him an opportunity. I just do. Like, the higher he got, the more opportunities he got, the better he became. I believe in Connor Dewar. So that one's eating at me a teeny bit. We'll see. He's got one assist so far in 5 games for Toronto, and Toronto's stacked, so it's like, I don't know, it's a good team, but he's stacked. It's a good team, but it's stacked, not he's stacked. He's going to a stacked team. So, yep, and then Derek, yep, shared that. Thank you very much. That's from Morty, of course. Continuing. Should the NHL amplify late season suspensions? Again, Derek, yep. Late season suspensions, especially if their offenses cause players to be lost for most, if not all, of the playoffs due to injury or injuries sustained from their actions. I think so, because it's like it just reeks of like cheating in a lot of ways. Morty says 100%, especially on blatant hits. Agreed. I agree, yeah. That's where I'm leaning on that one, yes. I think they should. It's ridiculous. Here we go. Interesting one here. Well, they're all interesting. They're awesome. Kirill Kaprizov, tends to have a sidekick when he's performing at his best. So do many video game heroes. Who do you think presently is Kaprizov's sidekick? And which video game hero sidekick would you compare it to? So, Kaprizov, there's like the Sonic Tails thing. Sonic and Tails. That's, you know, Kaprizov could be a Sonic the Hedgehog. Is this the best sidekick? Probably Baldi. Probably Baldi. It seems like the chemistry's there with Baldi and Kaprizov. Obviously, Jule Eriksson-Ek as well. But it's, I think it's Baldi. I like the chemistry between the two. Obviously, the whole, all three of them, it's like a the closest thing to a perfect match, I think, when it comes to the whole line. But if it's a single guy, I guess I'll go with Baldi, and it is Sonic and Tails. Baldi is definitely a lesser version of what Kaprizov does, but he does provide a different game, just a different overall kind of a game, kind of a silky, smooth type of a game, scoring, a natural scorer, that type of thing, where Kaprizov is, you know, more like Sonic the Hedgehog. He's like the guy. He's, you know, that kind of thing. And then where Baldi kind of floats around a bit in a lot of ways, but can be very valuable. Like when Tails floats around a little bit, that kind of thing. Sometimes can be a boost. So it's Sonic and Tails. It's just right away, it was Sonic the Hedgehog with me. Just Kaprizov, I think of Sonic. So we're going to continue here. Derek continues, says, former Minnesota Wild forward Chris Simon passed away at the age of 52. What is your favorite Chris Simon memory? Well, a lot of the frustration with, like, is that all? That's all Doug Risebrough could do? There was all these great rumors of, like, we're going to get, like, Forsberg or something, you know? That would be the Forsberg of that time, not the current one. Yeah, like the really good one from the Avalanche who went to the Flyers. Yeah, oh, man. It's funny how he wound up with the Flyers, too, later on, because that was the whole Lindros trade way back in the day. Mostly just the frustration of it, but, yeah. M.N. Johan says, I remember the exact moment I found out where the Wild traded for him. I was in a Caribou Coffee in Bemidji. Cool. That's cool. Using the Wi-Fi, finishing up my work entries, and refreshing the Russo blog. Cool. Yeah, yep, refresh, yep, because you're hoping for a story. Roosevelt was such a great community. Derek continues, says, it went over, quote-unquote, real well with the Wild and Wild.com message boards. Perhaps one of the best memes I've ever seen was created by a member called Old Time Hockey. I wish I still had it. It was hilarious. Yeah, I wish I could see it. Wish I could. Derek had one other one saying, it had to do with Sprint and dropped calls, kind of parodying their popular commercials at the time. And he was saying, MN Soda, yep, to remember it. Is that Teresa Ferries? Yeah, well, a couple other people, Patrick Peterson, Anthony Krenz. Patrick Peterson, yes, okay, so I'll give him a follow. Response, Anthony Krenz. Yep, the thread on the old Wild message boards was amazing at every reply. The mom wanted more, Doug. Yep, Doug! Yep. And Derek was saying, the addition of Chris Simon went over like a lead balloon. This is Derek. Lead balloon on the message boards. I remember he got into a fight early after arriving with the Wild, but he was coming off the suspension where he had stomped someone with his skate. Oh, I remember hearing about, yeah, I remember that at the time. A classic Risebrough moment, though. And it was. And then Johan's final one says, yep, one of the final nails on Riser's coffin with the Wild, so to say. Yep. And I was thrilled when Greg Leopold moved on from Doug Riser. I thought it was good. You know, Chuck Fletcher was an upgrade. There's just not, you have to admit he was. Jay Bushy, welcome back. Good to hear from you. Says, the Wild can't catch a break with the injury bug this season. Your thoughts? Yep, it's been an absolute joke with the injuries this year. Spurgeon pretty much was, it felt like he was just always, always something wasn't right with him pretty much at the beginning of the year, and it felt like the last year plus, like maybe his stuff had been kind of like a wear and tear grinding away at him for a long time. Ugh, kind of like my throat here, what the heck. At the end of the day, though, yeah, it's been absolutely ridiculous. Sorry about that. Kind of clearing myself up here, so... yeah, it's been like a sick joke when it comes to the the injuries this year. No doubt about it. I mean, like Brodin, I mean, I think it's like it feels like the second or third time with him. Joel Eriksson-Ek, at least the second time. The first one, he miraculously came back. And the second time, it's like, oh, well, hopefully Saturday, so that's okay. That's better than nothing. It's a lot better than nothing. Glad to see Joel Eriksson-Ek possibly coming back. So we've been blessed there. Yeah, there have been so many. There's been too many to count this year. Foligno always misses sometime, it seems like. Didn't Boldy miss? I don't remember. Maybe that was last year. A long time ago, Boldy broke his ankle. That was really depressing. So, yeah, I mean, it could go on all day with the guys being hurt and this and that. Some cases we've been absolutely blessed. In other cases, not so much when it comes to guys missing time. Yeah, Boldy did miss a few games. Kaprizov missed a few games, but now he's absolutely taken off. I won't say the names that haven't gotten hurt because I don't want to jinx them. Yeah, Brodin has missed a ton of time this year. And it seems like he always misses some time, all the time. Middleton's been pretty good, but yeah, it's right, quiet Joey, right? Foligno already said that, so on and so forth. And others like, you know, Bogosian wasn't here the whole year. And Goodrow, well, some of those were scratches. I mean, and a lot of the others, the guys were scratched and stuff. Obviously, Mason Shaw still kind of coming back. 10 National Hockey League games this year. So, yeah, no, it's been ridiculous. Again, and a lot of it's the same, you know, the usual suspects, as they say, like Brodin, Foligno, guys like that, all the time. It's ridiculous. I think there's one final Derek Felska response. It might be this Charlie Brown. I think it's a response to the Charlie Brown thing. This is for everybody listening to the playoff nonsense. Tonight is a perfect example, and it was Lucy pulling the ball away from Charlie Brown. And like you heard the sound bite at the beginning of the show, I think that logo is going to be the logo for this episode. But then again, I hope it can be. I hope it's not some kind of copyright. Everything is something, you know? I mean, I could say we'll fight to the end and stand and defend, and I might get, who knows? I mean, there's so many rules, and I don't know. We'll see. Derek Felska says, it certainly shows you the contrast of a mostly weak schedule and the team's playoff surge. You put them against an actual playoff team, and suddenly they don't look so great. Yep. Even if this team still somehow managed to make it, it would be a quick playoff exit again. Yes, it would. Oh, yes. This team does not have the horses, as they call them, to make any type of a legitimate playoff run. They don't. I mean, we have some talented players, but not enough. Not enough. That North Star team had, you know, what do we have? Dave Gagne, Madonna, we didn't have Cicerelli. I'm just kidding. Broughton, Bobby Smith, Brian Propp, pretty good player. Tenorti, you know, John Casey got hot. This and that. You could go on for a while. There's a few others. Kurt Giles, solid, you know, solid player. And then they scratched him in the Cup Final. Apparently that was a big thing, and that's why Kurt Giles never played for the North Stars again after that, but did come back to coach a team that looks kind of like the North Stars. The color scheme is the same, and has won several state championships since. And I've enjoyed those. I've enjoyed it because, I happen to look like Edina. I kind of like Edina, yes. They're not like I don't have posters, I don't have pennants, I don't have jerseys, I don't have shirts. But, and I didn't go to Edina, I went to Hopkins. Yeah, Hopkins. Yeah. Which is funny, but, I like Edina. I'm fine with Edina winning. Let's just leave it at that. So, enough about me and Hope in the Wild. Obviously, again, I don't know what I hope for. Just stay healthy, I guess. Hopefully the players that are, you know, the players that are able to come back are going to be able to come back. Would love to see Joel Eriksson-Ek get to 70 points. And, well, keep drafting well. The drafts look promising. Yurov, Ogren look very promising. What a great draft that could end up becoming. It looks unbelievable. This past one is hard to say, but maybe, I don't know. It's hard to say. Kumpalainen so far, I guess. He's signed an entry-level deal, which is interesting because it's pretty early. But, and then, you know, the hope is like Rossi, guys like that. And Kuznetsov, that was the 2020 draft. Those two guys can be a factor along with Damon Hunt. O'Rourke and Novak, that might end up actually being a pretty good draft too. Pavel Novak might make the NHL someday. It's a long shot, but he might. Petrovsky, yep, looks like they're already kind of moving on. But Spacek looks like the better player of the two. That's just my guess. But Petrovsky performed insanely well when he got to play for his country in the juniors, the World Juniors. But since then, I don't know. And then height, obviously, is a huge, huge possibility from this past draft. It's Kumpel, Leinen, and height are probably the two most likely to be factors in the NHL. But, I mean, Strumhill, I don't see it. We'll see. Other people do see it. I don't yet. But I better stop now. I think I'm going on too long. Obviously, major shout-outs to guys. Obviously, the, you know, Crease and Assist podcast. Yep, I mentioned it many times, and I will continue to mention it. The MNW Young Guns / MNW Prospects, Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke, Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, you know, Chad Walski, David and Chance Kostick, David Abraham, I don't know if I mentioned, Kathy Main. Yep, great page, obviously, again. And then Patrick Turner, Minnesota Wild Nation. Huge shout-outs to both of those great, great Facebook pages. Really appreciate you guys and the conversations that are on there. Patrick Turner's coming in out of Florida, though, which is cool. Obviously, again, he enjoyed that run by the Panthers last year. And you know what? If the Panthers win this year, congratulations. You know, I'm not going to be mad. Not going to be mad at all if the Panthers win the Stanley Cup this year. I think, you know, just like the Vikings and other teams like that, it's time. Win it. I'd be very happy for you. With that said, I hope all of you have a wonderful week, and there's a pretty good possibility Derek Felska will be on Brave the Wild next week, which would be really cool. And then someday my sorry bud will finally get on Crease and Assist. That would be fun, man. Obviously the scheduling is different and this and that, so it is what it is. We'll see. Maybe one of these weekends coming up or whatever day it is that you usually record. But we'll see how that all turns out, and we can gab about Minnesota Wild hockey. With that said, please do put a positive 5-star rating if you could on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, other apps that allow you to do so. It'd be greatly appreciated. Let's help those algorithms a bit. Again, Brave the Wild's on YouTube in podcast form. YouTube Music, which is going to replace Google Podcasts. YouTube Music already exists, and the show is already there. But Google Podcasts, if you happen to be a regular user of that, is going away on April 2nd. It's even telling me right now as I pressed on it. Google Podcasts is saying goodbye. After April 2nd, 2024, you'll no longer be able to listen to podcasts in Google Podcasts. Transfer your subscriptions to YouTube Music or export them for the service of your choice. So, yep, it's kind of sad. I don't know why they're doing that, actually. I don't know. I'm not really sure why they're doing that, but doesn't make sense, I guess. But YouTube and Google are kind of the same thing, I guess. They're the same. Yeah, they're all kind of owned by Alphabet, I guess. But now I better get off track and get off of that and move on. Thank you so much for listening, and take care.